SBS Radio.
Paul Cleary, welcome to NITV Radio.
Thank you.
Now, Oxfam has just released a report, a groundbreaking report called In Good Hands, a report that shows that self-determined First Peoples are in good hands. Tell us about this report.
Yeah, we produced this report because we realised there are thousands of Aboriginal organisations and corporations out there that are doing really good work, that are providing health services, justice services, early childhood, land and sea management services, and all this is going on. And unfortunately, it sort of happens a bit under the radar, and the public, you know, often just hears about things when they go wrong, but they don't actually hear about all the great work that's being done. And I think what our report shows is that when you really support communities and you have strong leadership, you can actually achieve much better results and actually be much more cost-effective than funding mainstream non-Indigenous organisations to do this work.
Yeah, so what's always feared is mainstreaming services, and this has been the case. First Nations communities and organizations have been calling for programs to be run by First Nations people to deliver service to First Nations people. And in this report, you highlight some services that are achieving outstanding results. Give us an example of a few of those that are highlighted in the report.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the really outstanding ones I thought was the Katungal Aboriginal Medical Service, which has a network of three clinics on the south coast of New South Wales, and they're very well organised. They run the Deadly Choices program, which is about getting people in to do checkups. And the data that we've presented in the report shows in that region there's been a 30% reduction in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people showing up at hospitals with what's known as preventable illnesses, and that is things that could have been prevented with proper primary health care. So providing this primary preventative health care, they've achieved that 30% reduction, whereas across New South Wales, for the non-Indigenous, for the total population of non-Indigenous and Indigenous, it's actually gone up by 20%. So that's quite a marked saving. And anecdotally, people in that area in the hospital system are actually had been telling the Katungal staff, we're seeing fewer and fewer Aboriginal people presenting at hospitals. And that's an example of the work they've been doing. We've seen some great work done in early childhood education. We feature the Bupit Willem Centre down in the north side of Melbourne, and that's achieved really outstanding results in terms of meeting all the quality assurance framework. They've gone from being an area that had only a handful of places for Aboriginal children to now more than 70 children being provided with really what they call wraparound or holistic care. We see this as well in the legal system. When you have really well designed programs with Aboriginal leadership, you're actually getting fewer and fewer people reoffending. And we've seen this through a fantastic Aboriginal employment service over in Western Australia, Nala Maya, which has put more than 300 Aboriginal ex-prisoners into jobs with very, very low recidivism rates. And the founder of that organisation, Mervyn Eads, talks about how if his organisation is entirely run by Aboriginal people, and as a result, he says they can deliver a bit of what he calls tough love, which non-Indigenous people, you know, really can't do. And he says they can do that because they are Aboriginal people, and they just want what's best for them.
And they understand the culture and the community.
Exactly. Yeah, the culture. This is all done in a cultural framework as well.
Yeah. And yet, despite these outstanding results, what many organisations are really bemoaning is that Aboriginal organisations are always scrambling for funding, despite proving that they've got a good track record.
Yeah, now this is a really sad thing. And, you know, in Australia, unfortunately, I think we still suffer from this sort of colonial mindset, which in the report we show that in other countries, particularly the United States, they realised in the early 70s that the self-determination approach is really one that is the best way to go and achieves the best results. One of the things we're calling for in this report is for the government to move away from this, from drip feeding organisations, to give them long-term funding so they don't have to spend a huge amount of time and effort filling in forms, reapplying for grants, getting all of these one-off grants. The Indigenous Advancement Strategy is an example of this approach. We're really calling for an end to this, and to government to really enter into partnership with these great organisations and to give them the long-term funding and the support they need.
Yeah, so one thing that is mentioned in detail in the report is that this mainstreaming of Indigenous services brings them in competition with services that are completely irrelevant even to the people.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. It doesn't have that cultural framework, doesn't have doesn't even have many Aboriginal people actually involved in the service delivery. What we're seeing with these community-based Aboriginal-led organisations is really high numbers of Aboriginal people delivering the services. So in the medical services, more than 50% of the staff, the medical staff, are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So that's really what we need to be aiming for, delivering the services, but also training up and employing Aboriginal people to do those jobs rather than outsourcing them to non-Indigenous people.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today. And
thank you so much. I appreciate your interest.
Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Thanks, Bertrand.
You're welcome.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.